From Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Moses' murder mystery, Parshat Shemot. In Parshat Shemot, there are two verses I'd like to analyze. Here we go. It was in those days Moshe grew up, and he went among his brethren. Vayar ish mitzri, he saw an Egyptian man, makeh ish ivri mechav. He was smiting or hitting or beating a Jew, an Israelite, a Hebrew, from among his brethren. And here's the key verse. Vayifen kovacho, Moshe turned hither and yon, and vayar kieni, he saw there was nobody there. Vayachet hamitzri, he smote the Egyptian, vayitmeneu bachol, and then he hid him in the sand. Everyone understands that when he hit him, and the reason he hit him in the sand is that he killed him. Moshe killed an Egyptian. One time my father and I were talking to a little boy, and he said, you know, Moshe shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have killed that man. And my father of blessed memory was shocked. He said, that's what the boy learns in kindergarten, that Moshe, our greatest leader, did something wrong? So let's analyze that. Is the kindergarten teacher correct? Was this little boy correct in saying that Moshe did the wrong thing? Or no? Moshe is great. Moshe is impeccable, but Moshe, in this case, is not guilty as charged. So I'd like to show that there are really two schools of thought among Jewish writers. So first we begin with the idea that Moshe did nothing wrong at all. As a matter of fact, he's really a great hero for this case. Modern Sanhedrin says he deserves to die because one of the things that a Gentile is not supposed to do is to smite a Jew. After all, you should recognize the Jewish people were chosen by God, and to smite them, to hit them, to beat them, it's terrible, and they deserve to die. Well, the problem is, firstly, is that the Jewish law, or is it just an idea in the Talmud? Secondly, the Rambam says that they'd be smitten by God, that God would get them for that. It's not a punishable here on earth. So how could Moshe carry out an earthly punishment? So I think it was some sofer who says, well, maybe he looked hither and yon means he looked to the heavenly court and he spoke to them and they said, yeah, get that guy. And Moshe, at the behest of the heavenly court, smote the Egyptian. Another possibility is that he's guilty of stealing. We know that there are seven laws for the Gentiles, seven laws of Noah. One of them is not to steal. And if they violate any of these laws, it's a capital punishment. So, wait, why is he stealing? He hit the Jew. He didn't steal from him. There's an idea. What's wrong with hitting someone? The idea of hitting someone is that you ruin their body. If when you ruin someone's property, you make a nick in someone's book, someone's shelf, and you have to pay for it. Certainly, if you nick their body, it's a form of stealing. And the nezikin, the avos nezikin, the various torts where someone is damaged, one might argue that the root of them is do not steal. So they're guilty of stealing, and for a Gentile, stealing could be a capital punishment in theory. Another possibility, Chizkuni mentions, many midrashim talk about it, is that why was he beating up this fellow so badly? Well, maybe he had a beautiful wife, and he wanted to sleep with the wife. The Egyptian wanted to sleep with the Jewish wife. But, you know, there's this Jewish guy, and, you know, he could raise his head and say, hey, well, what are you doing? So he beat him down so he would be so downtrodden, and then he could sleep with his wife. And that's what he did. So therefore, he was committed adultery. Adultery is certainly a cardinal sin. Moshe is justified in taking his life for committing cardinal sin. Of course, Moshe is not a judge or a court, so that's a problem. But at least he was guilty of death. Of course, Rashi kind of cleans it up to say that he killed him with the Shem HaMeforash. He killed him with God's name. All he did was he said, the holy, unutterable name of God. And with that, since this person was so evil and God is so holy, he disappeared, he died immediately. So he didn't kill anybody. He said God's name. If he wasn't guilty, he wouldn't have died. It was a mystical kind of death. Moshe is not the murderer at all. The idea that that Moshe is not a villain here, but actually a hero, is explained by the David Zvi Hoffman, who writes as follows. This is my translation. Can one speak of injustice where rights are trampled upon? If the Jews had no rights, if they could just be beaten to a pulp, then in that context, can you talk about right or wrong? Can you talk about an injustice that he killed the Egyptian? There's no justice. And of course, this idea could justify the idea of terrorism. So we have to be careful about this definition. Also, at the Gush Etzion, they speak about the idea of self-liberation. After all, before God could save the Jews, they had to liberate themselves. So I think it's Bazak points this out. And this was an act of self-liberation where Moshe says, I'm going to take matters in my hand. I have to liberate these Jews. This was the first act of Moshe, the liberator. However, it's interesting to note, by the way, one other idea. The Torah Tumimah says, look, in general, you shouldn't kill an Egyptian because he's hitting a Jew. But it was a horacha, something you have to take law in your own hands. When there are certain very unusual moments in history, you have to take law into your own hands. Also, there are midrashim that say this is a great act of self-sacrifice, that Moshe was willing to die after he smote this Egyptian. Maybe they would kill him for doing so. And of course, Paro was looking for him, and he was a wanted man after this. So Moshe sacrificed his life for the Jewish people. That's the idea that he's a hero, nothing wrong. However, it's interesting to note that there is an opinion that agrees with that little boy and with his teacher. Now, whether little children should be taught that Moshe's very first act was a criminal act, that's an educational question. I'll leave for the educators. But as to the notion that he did something wrong, it's supported by a medrash of Ptiras Moshe. There's a little collection of medrashim of various topics, and one was about the death of Moshe. So Moshe says, God, how could you kill me? I'm better than Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Adam, Noach. I'm the most righteous. So God says, oh yeah, you didn't do anything wrong. Did I tell you to kill that Egyptian? Kluma marti l'chashetarog es amitri. Did I tell you to kill the Egyptian? Was that a good idea? Furthermore, we have a medrash talks about, you know, why was it that when Moshe was dying, one of the last acts that he did was to set aside cities of refuge? They didn't need them yet. Israel wasn't conquered yet. But he said, no, but let me set them aside. Even before I die, I'll set them aside. Why was that his business, to set aside cities of refuge for those who kill by mistake? Because Medrash says, and Moshe Meitzer, Moshe was feeling bad. After all, I killed the Egyptian. So he said, you know, let me make a tikkun. As the Shalosh says, it was a tikkun, it was a fixing of the sin of Moshe, having killed the Egyptian, that before he passed away, he made cities of refuge for those who like him, killed by mistake. Perhaps this suggests that he killed by mistake, because there are those who say he punched him, he killed him with, he hit him with his fist. Who thought that Moshe was so strong that by hitting him with his fist, he would die? He didn't know. So he killed him by mistake, and Moshe had to go into refuge. So Moshe, as a tikkun for his original act, makes a city of refuge. This suggests that indeed Moshe was wrong to have killed the Egyptian. It was not correct. It was his first act. Showed tremendous passion, which is good, but showed certain hastiness, impetuousness, the fact that he wasn't patient enough to wait for the salvation of the Jews at the right time, put himself in danger, he had to run away, had to leave his family. And this was something he wouldn't do. Rav Shmuel Rafael Hirsch says that that's the point of this story, is that we see that Moshe evolved, that Moshe was not the original Moshe was not the same as the ultimate. This is not a Moshe that we knew later. Later, the Moshe would have been more careful than to put himself in danger like this and to do this act. This idea, the idea that he did do something wrong, supports the Midrash, or who knows, some sort of story that's told in the Tiferes Yisrael, the Mishnayos, there was a commentary on the Mishnah in the late 1800s. His name was the Tiferes Yisrael, Rabbi Lifshitz. And he wrote the following story, which he claimed some kind of midrash, which others denied, and so offended were others by it that many editions of Mishnah, you can't find this story. But it's a Mishnah in Kedushin somewhere, and it says, and he says that the story goes like this, that Moshe was actually a great robber and thief when he was younger. And then Moshe worked on himself and he became the great Moshe. So too here, perhaps Moshe did the wrong thing. Perhaps he killed an Egyptian. It was good. He had a lot of passion against the evil Egyptians, but it was bad because it wasn't appropriate. There was no right. He had no license to kill. However, he worked on himself. He became a different Moshe, someone who was not impetuous, someone who was not always getting angry. He did get angry a few times, but didn't lose his temper too much. He was able to function. And he was able to overcome this original inclination. That makes Moshe even greater. That here's a person who had an inclination to be a bandit, a wanted man. And yet, he transformed himself from that into the great Moshe Rabbeinu, Lokam Yisrael Kamoshe, that no one is ever as great as Moshe. Such a great tzaddik. With a beginning like this, it's amazing how he became the great Moshe. So was that boy correct? Well, perhaps. But whether it should be taught as the first thing in kindergarten, that may be a questionable educational decision. Thank you for joining here. It's here at the Anshei Sefard Beth Elmeth congregation for a discussion of the Parsha and the holidays. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you so much.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.